Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Andrew Yasuhara believes in empowering people and connecting them to an extraordinary God. Andrew comes from a rich spiritual heritage. His grandfather was the district superintendent of the Assemblies of God for over 40 years and helped start First Assembly of God over 68 years ago. That's Pastor Woodrow Yasuhara. Pastor Andrew has been on staff with the same church, First Assembly of God, for the past 14 years. And you know, when you talk about legacy, there is a spiritual connection and power that comes through generations, and Pastor Andrew is an example of that. Dear one, do you know that you can be part of a marvelous spiritual legacy and you can experience that? That's really why we have the Good Life Radio Show, is to bring people to Jesus Christ. That's what Woodrow Yasuhara, Pastor Woodrow, did in his life. That's what his grandson, Pastor Andrew Yasuhara, does, to share the love of Christ, that God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins, and that Jesus shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ, who has touched Pastor Andrew, can touch your heart today as well. You know, Pastor Andrew Yasuhara, he served as youth pastor for 12 years and planted a church in Hawaii Kai. He served as media pastor for 2 years and recently planted the latest church out of First Assembly of God at the University of Hawaii, First Assembly of God Metro. He's married to Karen. They have 2 children, Destiny and Dylan. Pastor Andrew, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, Danny.
Where did you grow up?
Well, funny you should ask, because I actually was born in Minnesota, and then we moved here when I was 4 years old. So I grew up in Hawaii, but I was actually born in Minnesota.
Okay, so you can relate with some of the chilly weather that I'm experiencing here in Boston, being from Minnesota.
Actually, all I can remember is the snow, and then when I get into chilly weather for me is like 55 degrees.
Well, Hawaii style, right? I mean, yeah. if it's in the 60s, we're bringing out our sweaters.
That's true.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
Well, as I've been thinking about it, I do come, like you said, from a very, very rich heritage, with my grandfather being a pastor and a district superintendent for many, many years. But the two people that I can think that influenced me the most is my father and my mother. And they grew up as pastor's kids, or my dad grew up as a pastor's kid. And he really wanted me to experience Jesus Christ without all of that pressure that comes with, now I'm a pastor's grandkid, being a PG. Mm-hmm. And I was just so amazed as I think back on how my parents just really raised and influenced me, and just really showed me a side of Jesus that was outside of the ministry, outside of the church. And I saw most of Jesus, what I saw was at home. And my mom, she was always instrumental in reading Bible stories to me, getting me to memorize a lot of scripture when I was young. I remember I memorized like Psalms 23, all of those famous Bible verses. In fact, in elementary school, I had memorized chapters like Hebrews 11, and a big part of that had to do with my mom encouraging me, using incentives like candy and donuts every time I memorized a scripture. And before I knew it, I became very prolific at just memorizing scripture. And my father, he would take me out and he would just really emphasize the values that he was brought up in. And that's a lot of who I am. In fact, most of who I am comes from the way my mom and dad raised me.
So you, when you talk about your parents, I can hear the respect, the love, the admiration for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would imagine that you're wanting to model that even with your own children.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of people, unfortunately, aren't able to grow up with a really positive and healthy reference point. And in fact, I just shared something with our congregation at Metro yesterday, and just sharing with them that, you know, a lot of who we are is based on the reference points that we have. And fortunately for me, I saw my parents go on dates every single week. They were loving each other. They're loving us as their children. And that's the reference point that I have. And so if I'm not being that for my family, and I know I'm busy with a lot of ministry, a lot of church work, I know that there's just something inside of me that just doesn't sit right because of the influence and the reference point, the healthy reference point that I have from my parents.
How did you become a Christian?
Well, I grew up in church. My parents brought me to church, and I know that I went to a great school. It's called Christian Academy. That's where my kids go. And I got a really great spiritual foundation then. But later on, my parents decided to send me to public school. And I joined the youth group when I was in the eighth grade. And I remember that was the turning point for me where I started to know who Jesus really was. I went to a youth conference. We called it Youth Convention. And it was at that place where I discovered for myself who Jesus was. And it was a little bit later, you know, I started to walk with the Lord. But when I got to college, I just kind of got really lukewarm. And it was at the age of 24 where I went to another church camp. And now it wasn't for the youth conference, but it was for our own church. Pastor Koh had just taken over as a senior pastor, and he wanted to have a church camp. And so when I got to the church camp, I was actually there just to just hang out with my friends and just do whatever it is that young adults like to do, which is not attend the service. So I was helping with the children's ministry, just wanted to have a lot of fun. And one night, I had an encounter with God at Camp Erdman on the cement floor. And I just remember just saying, God, I never, ever want to lose your presence again. And from that point on, I've never stopped.
Pastor, describe what went on in your heart at the age of 24. There at Camp Erdman.
Well, when I was just kind of sitting there, the speaker, his name was Dean Neferatis, and he was this Greek evangelist, and he just was speaking really, really fast, mile a minute. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of sitting there and like, man, I just can't wait till afterwards. I want to go hang out with my friends. But something that he said struck me, because what he said was this. He said, you know, a lot of times God wants to pour out his love onto our hearts, but our hearts, if they're hardened, if there's a runoff that happens. And there's this constant pouring out of God's love, but it's running off because our hearts are too hard. And he said, the Bible says that we have to, you know, we have to break up that fallow ground or that hardened ground, because when the ground is broken, then underneath, that's where it's soft. That's where it can receive and absorb all of the water and all of the life. And he said, there is somebody here tonight that their heart has become hard. And all of a sudden, I just sensed the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I knew that was me. And I you know, you had mentioned that my grandfather, you know, was a pastor at First Assembly of God, my church, for my whole lifetime. And I had told myself, I will never, ever be like my grandfather. You know, I'm not going to be a pastor. I'm not going to. But at that point, I had just released everything and said, God, I'm going to stop running. And I just don't want to ever lose your presence. I don't ever want to lose your love in my life. And that was a turning point for me.
What happened after that moment? 24, you were lukewarm prior to that.
Yeah.
So your life took a different course, a new trajectory. What happened? Describe that.
Well, first, I was just in love with Jesus. And at the time, I had a part-time job. I was filling up vending machines in Waikiki. And I remember waking up early, 6 in the morning, just wanting to be with God and just spending time with Him. And I was so hungry. I would read the Bible on the bus because, you know, parking in Waikiki is so expensive.
Right.
So I was just reading and reading and reading. I'm driving this old beat up white van all over Waikiki, up Kapi'olani, down Kuhio. And I'm just like, God, I just want to be with you. I just want to spend time with you. And God would reveal Himself to me in such powerful ways in Waikiki. And then I catch the bus back home, just reading God's word. And before I knew it, I had signed up for a missions class. And I just said, God, I had lived up to that point. I lived 24 years of my life for myself. It was all about me. And I said, God, when I get to heaven, I want to at least be able to tell you that I live 365 days for you, that I live one whole year for you. And, you know, I hope that would be something as a heart of gratitude. It wasn't out of works, but it was just because I was so grateful just to have God's presence in my life. And there was an opportunity that opened up where we were sending a team to plant a church in Japan for 1 year. And I signed up immediately. I just signed up. And I remember sitting around the table and everybody was sharing about how God had called them to Japan. They were having visions and dreams, and God was speaking to them. And
yes.
And then it came to my turn, and I just signed up. I didn't know what I was doing. I just wanted to just give God 1 year of my life, and that's what I shared. And from that point on, my life just started to accelerate, and I just started to see God's hand in my life. Now I found myself in Japan, trying to speak Japanese, not doing a very good job of it, but just seeing God just do miracle after miracle after miracle in Japan. And I came back and I saw Pastor Cole when I came back a year later at the airport. And he said, I need to talk to you. And I told Pastor Cole, I need to talk to you too. And a few days later, he brought me into his office and he said, I see the call of God on your life. And I want you to consider coming on staff with us. And then that's how I joined First Assembly of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really neat because I had a chance to spend one whole year working with my grandfather. Two Pastor Yasuharas working in the same office at the same time. And that to me was one of the best years of my life because I got to see what everybody else saw, the pastor that everybody else respected and revered. And so loved. I got to see that side of him because normally when it comes to my grandpa, he does a really good job of just showing the family, the grandpa side. And for the first time in my life, I was able to work with him. I was able to do baptisms with him. I was able to go to do hospital visitations with him. And those are some memories that will always be with me.
Pastor Andrew, when we come back from our break, You've got us now. We've got to hear more. I want you to share about what was it like to see him there, doing his craft as it were, as a man, as a minister, having so many years of perfecting his craft as it were, with so much dedication, faithfulness to the Lord and to people. But then also, you did mention that he was able to show the grandpa side.
Yes.
I'm wondering if you could share a little bit about what that was like.
I would love to.
Most people probably know him more from a professional standpoint.
Yeah.
What was Pastor Woodrow Yasuhara like as a grandpa? And what did you call him? What was it like? Hey, these are special moments. You know, you can't plan these times. They just happen here at the Good Life Radio Show. And today, Pastor Andrew Yasuhara, heart to heart with you. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliwomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Father, Pastor Woodrow Yasuhara helped start First Assembly of God over 68 years ago. He was the district superintendent of the Assemblies of God for more than 40 years. We have Pastor Andrew Yasuhara with us today in studio, and it's a blessing that you're with us today. Thank you for joining us. You can find out more about Pastor Andrew and the ministry of First Assembly of God Metro at firstaog.com. Again, firstaog.com. Pastor Andrew sent out under the leadership of Pastor Clayton Cole to plant this new church, First Assembly of God Metro. You can find out more about our program, this and other shows, at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Now, Pastor Andrew, before our break, we were talking about your grandfather. You were able to minister. There's two Pastor Yasuharas there in Japan. What was it like seeing him in action?
Well, I guess for me, it was, I think what people always told me was the wisdom that he had. And at the same time, he was down to earth. And I got a chance to see a district superintendent and an associate pastor with our church for over, I think, 50 years, to be able to be operating at a high level of leadership. But at the same time, I would see him on work days. I would see him just spending time with people and just being really, really down to earth. He was just a local boy, you know, that God was using, and he just availed himself. And so that to me were some really, really neat things that I told myself, this is I'm starting to see like who I am. As he ministered, I started to say, you know what, I need to have the same, you know, posture as I minister, as I love people. I can't be too, you know, up there in the clouds that, you know, I'm no earthly good. And always, you know, he never closed his door, you know, in his office. And I would always go in and talk to him. And, you know, the funny thing is now that he died in 2001, but even to this day, the door of his office, he's so funny. He wrote his name right next to the doorknob, and it's still there to this day.
Well, what would he say? You know, what words do you remember? Now, there's a dichotomy here, because I'm going to talk about him, your relationship with your grandpa from a pastoral ministry, more professional standpoint, mm-hmm. but of course on a personal level too. But what do you remember him saying often, whether it would be with you or as he related with others in the body of Christ?
Well, I think he was able to share like some very short, memorable statements. Like he would say things like, "A dull pencil is better than a sharp memory."
Wow.
So it's like, wow, there's a lot of wisdom in mm-hmm. what you said. And I think for me, the things that I remember most are his stories, his sermons. He would teach a new believers class. Even at the end of his ministry, he was still teaching the new believers class, and he would always tell stories about how God used him in the Japanese ministry, how God used him to make a difference with people that were struggling. He tells a story about how this lady came in and she needed rent, and he just laid into her and just really scolded her, said, you need to really, be better, better with your finances. But at the end of it, he took out his own personal checkbook and he covered her for that month. I'm like, wow, I want to be generous like that. There's another story about a lady that came into his office and she was afraid, I think because her husband was not treating her right, was being physically abusive, and she was looking for protection. And as she's talking to her, the husband comes into the office. And my grandpa just was so good. He just calmed down the whole situation and said, you know what? It's not worth it. And the husband ended up giving his life to the Lord. And I remember, I think that was really the calling card of my grandpa, where he was a personal evangelist. And mm-hmm. he would make it his mission every single day to lead people to the Lord. And he would lead people to the Lord, at family gatherings, in Waikiki, at funerals. That was another one. He was a legend when it came to funerals and just leading wow. people to the Lord. And that was his mantra. He loved to just see people get to know Jesus in a personal way.
At home, when you would see Woodrow Yasuhara, mm-hmm. grandpa,
yeah.
your grandpa, what did you experience that most people wouldn't even know about? What did you see of him?
Well, one thing about Pastor Yasuhara is the grandfather. One thing that he has passed down to his three sons and now to all of his grandchildren, one thing that is a Yasuhara legacy is dry jokes. We just love telling dry jokes, eating peanuts, watching football. And he was growing up, my grandfather was... he grew up with nine brothers in Hilo, and they were actually pretty notorious for in high school. They're kind of like the Yasuhara gang. And he told me on his deathbed, he was just telling me how God had taken that he said he was really hard head and mm-hmm. he was really stubborn. And he said God took that stubbornness from a negative standpoint and he turned it and he transformed it into something that was good, because as a district superintendent, you have to be a leader and you have to live with your convictions. And anyway, he would just share stories with us about how they would get into trouble, how they almost burned down their neighbor's house in Hilo, and how they, pick on this kid was trying to extort the brothers. And he said, "Grandpa, what did you do?" He said, "Well, we just got a hot chili pepper and put it in his sandwich." So he loved just to be with the family. He loved to take out his harmonica. He loved to play his ukulele. Wow. And he just loved to sing. That was one thing the Yasuharas always loved to do, was to sing. And they would just love being together. Whenever we'd have family reunions, each one of the brothers and their families would just get together and just sing. And those are some of the things that I remember from my grandfather. Just being grandpa, they would always come to our house for Christmas. In fact, that's why we moved back, was because my father wanted me to know my grandfather, instead of just being in Minnesota. He wanted me to be with family back here in Hawaii.
I just love listening to you talk, to hear you talk the way you do about your parents, mm-hmm. about your grandfather, about legacy, about relationship, about life.
Yeah.
How about your grandma?
My grandma, my grandpa was very outgoing. But my grandma was, I feel like she was like the servant of all. She was always in the kitchen at 930 Lunalilo Street. That's where you would find her. She wasn't in the office, but she was always in the kitchen. She was always making food for others. She was always serving others. In fact, that's how she got her start. She didn't finish high school. She worked as a maid for a rich man on Maui. And that was her MO. That was her life, was serving others, putting other people before herself. And one of the things I remember about my grandmother was she would always, always write thank you notes, handwritten thank you notes. And she would always write it out. Even as you're giving her the present, she's giving you a thank you note. and it's just that personal touch. My grandmother taught Sunday school to the day she died. She's a legend at First Assembly of God for teaching Sunday school. And every single person that I grew up with, that came up after me and before me, they all remember going to my grandma's class and just loving her as a Sunday school teacher.
Wow. I'm thinking, you know, about leadership lessons. Mm. Sometimes when we think about it, one may reflect on a book that they read or a class that they took. You know, all those things are very valuable. God uses them. But man, your leadership lessons were in your home, your parents, grandma, grandpa. Yeah. And to be a part of that, you know, to carry the Yasuhara name. And now you've got your children the things that God is doing, I think it's an amazing, amazing story and a lesson, an example for all of us. When we come back, Pastor Andrew, let's talk a little bit more about leadership, lessons, and really the difference that Christ has made in your life. Now you've been called to the ministry. Mm-hmm. Now you're pastoring.
Yes.
How has the Lord developed in you a vision for what you see Him doing? What has He spoken to you about? What insights has He given to you? Foresights as you look ahead into the future. Those things and more, if you'd be willing to share with us, we greatly appreciate it. And we thank you. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com, Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, you can think about names. You know, if you live in Hawaii, and you think about the First Assembly of God or the Assemblies of God denomination, well, you cannot go very far without mentioning or hearing about Pastor Woodrow Yasuhara, Pastor Roy Sapp, Pastor Clayton Cole, the likes of Pastor George Nagato, and so on. But I remember a name of a couple called Mark and Diane Yasuhara when I was growing up. I'm wondering if Pastor Andrew can explain some of that relationship. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here. Pastor Andrew Yasuhara of First Assembly of God Metro with us. By the way, you can find out more about his ministry, his church, at firstaog.com. Pastor Andrew, Mark and Diane Yasuhara, how are they related to you?
So like I said, my grandpa, he comes from a line of nine brothers. So it's funny because my great-grandma decided to name all of her nine kids after U.S. presidents. How's that? Wow. You know, just really thinking like these men, these young men are going to make a difference with their lives. So
destined for greatness.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I was able to like think through like, wow. So one of my grandpa's older, so my grandpa's the third oldest of the nine. So his older brother's Uncle Albert. And Uncle Albert, he had four kids. So he had Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Auntie Amy John. Mm-hmm. So Uncle Mark is from my grandpa's older brother, and that's how I'm related to him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Presidents. He named them after presidents.
Yes. So there's Uncle Calvin, Uncle Tommy. There's a lot of them.
When you think about leadership lessons, now, in the Assemblies of God denomination, there are so many powerful and seasoned leaders. What stands out as far as leadership lessons that you have learned from the likes of some of those that I had mentioned earlier?
I think with starting off with Pastor Ko, he is my spiritual father. And I learn a lot, just like I learned from watching my grandfather. I learn a lot from, you know, watching Pastor Ko. And the more I spend time with him, it's been about 14, 15 years now that I've had a chance to just to serve under him and to serve alongside him. One of the things that I'm learning is besides just being a great and gifted and talented leader, giftings, Pastor Cole always says, giftings and talents can get you to the top, but it's character that will keep you there. And I see that in Pastor Cole because he is a man that does his best to live a blameless life, blameless as far as his own integrity, blameless when it comes to his ministry, and blameless when it comes to his family. And those are things that, you know, we would have long, deep talks about. He would ask me, like, how is your family doing? And you can't say one thing, he told me, you can't say one thing from the pulpit and live a different way at home. And I'm really trying my best to, you know, to live in such a way so that when I'm trying to raise my kids and speak life into my kids, that they can't turn around and say, well, Dad, you aren't living the thing that you are preaching. And so that's one thing that I'm really taking away. One major thing that I take away from Pastor Cole as we spend time together, that I want to be able to live in such a way that I live with integrity. And with Pastor George Nagato, he was the district superintendent for many, many years. And one of the things I love about Pastor George is that he's somebody who really, really wants to empower people. He's about empowering people. And in order to empower someone, you have to see God's best inside of them. And it's every time I talk to him, just like we're talking now about my grandfather, you know, he'd always bring up, you know, the past, and he would always just mention to me how Pastor Yasuhara, my grandfather, was such an influence to him and empowered him and helped him. And now he wants to do the same. Yeah. So we have Pastor Cole, Pastor George. Who was the other ones? I'm sorry, I forgot.
Oh, I mentioned Pastor Sapp.
Oh, Pastor Sapp. Mm-hmm. Pastor Sapp is in the same era and same category as my grandfather. But unfortunately, I didn't have a chance to really get to know Pastor Sapp. I was kind of in my own world, kind of doing my own thing. But I remember that Pastor Sapp was such a visionary. And back in the 80s, when I was still a child, kind of growing up, I just remember just seeing Pastor Sapp just do some phenomenal things. I remember being in my first ever singing Christmas tree when I was about 7 years old, and I had a speaking part. And that's where I fell in love with just being on the stage, because we're in the Neil Blaisdell Arena and for a Christmas production, and the whole arena was packed out for 3 nights. Mm-hmm. And I remember just being, and then that Sunday we'd have, Pastor Sapp would invite all the churches to come together, and we'd have these phenomenal worship services together. And just seeing Pastor Sapp is really someone who had great, phenomenal, phenomenal vision.
Speaking of vision, mm-hmm. As a pastor, what do you see? You planted First Assembly of God Metro. What has the Lord given you? What insights, what foresight do you see in the days ahead for your church?
One thing that I really believe in is that the local church is God's solution to a lost and dying world. And I really, really believe in the local church. And just taking kind of what the lessons like I was just sharing, the lessons that I learned, you know, in order to have vision, you know, we have to have a clear picture of where we're going. And the longer that I'm doing this, I've been doing this for a while, I can start to see that there is a path, there's a certain pathway that God has for me, that I can't be like anybody else, but I just have to be Andrew. And in order to do that, it takes seeking the Lord, it takes prayer, and really understanding that I can't do it by myself. And the only way I can get people on board is I have to be clear. I have to be clear what God's speaking to me. And one of the most recent things at First Assembly of God Metro is we just started something. I know a lot of churches are doing it already, but for us, it was a huge breakthrough for us, where we discovered something called the Alpha Course. Mm. And the Alpha Course just helped our net groups or our small groups just grow, and not only growing on the inside, but now we have more people in our small groups than come on Sunday, just because it's something that I'm starting to see, like, wow, we really can really reach a lot of people and be there for a lot of people, and people can have dialogue and conversation and feel a sense of community and family in the small groups. So those are some things that I'm learning that I never thought I'd be like really interested in, but just recently those are some things that I'm learning. Obviously, I'm really passionate about empowering people, about seeing God's call being unveiled in their life, and whatever I can do, however I can help them achieve that, that's always been my passion.
Talk a little bit about the Alpha Course.
Well, the Alpha Course, it originated with a man named Nicky Gumbel, who was an atheist and found Jesus and made it his lot in life to help others find Jesus in the same way. And what he does is he builds a case for Christ, and it's through videos that are online that are really, really well done. And the best part that I love most about it is that it's free. And we just went online and we just went through all the trainings, and he just gives such a great case for who Jesus is. sets the foundation, you know, that the Word of God is completely true, and then talks about who is Jesus, what is prayer, who is the Holy Spirit, what is healing, and all these things. And he does it in such a masterful way, because he has narrators, he has people giving their testimonies or their stories, and just breaks it up every 2 to 3 minutes in the video, which is only 20 minutes. You're seeing something new, and you're breaking and having discussion. And it's a great place that we can invite people, and at the same time, we can empower people who don't feel confident enough to lead a small group, because the Alpha Course is doing all the teaching.
You know, I've heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
People may or may not have heard about it, but as you describe it, it may trigger something. Of course, this is by the leading of the Lord, mm-hmm. as God leads.
Yeah.
That perhaps someone may go and check that out.
Yeah.
The Alpha Course. It might be more than worthwhile.
Definitely.
Maybe a leader is listening, or someone in a church is listening, looking for, maybe praying, Lord, how can we reach more people?
Yeah.
And here's an answer to prayer.
Oh, yeah.
There's a tool, very effective tool that the Lord is using.
And the amazing thing to me is that we're seeing... And sometimes people may say, well, that's just for young professionals or for young adults. But in our church, because we're doing it together, we have people that, like my parents' age, we call them the Silver and Fit group. And they're going through the Alpha Course. And then my daughter is running her Alpha Course, and she's just in the 7th grade. Mm. And so you have a wide range where there's a youth Alpha Course and there's an adult Alpha Course, and both are so well done. And in our church, we just have every single level, whether it's middle school, high school, young adult, young professional, retired. Everybody has found a place, and they're actually now inviting their friends to know who Jesus is.
Pastor Andrew, when we come back, you've been so gracious to share about your family, your life. There's a grace on you. I mean, that's quite obvious. The hand of God's mercy and grace is upon you, indeed. But when we come back, I'm wondering if you could share how the Lord has helped you through some difficult times.
Mm.
Someone today is struggling. I don't think ever a day goes by where someone is not wrestling with something.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, more from Pastor Andrew Yasuhara. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kayani Team Aloha, has seen Kayani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kayani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kayani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word. Weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, when you listen to someone share their heart and their life and the way that God has blessed them, might be a little bit, quite easy to think that all is always pristine and happy and joyous. And there's nothing wrong with happiness and joy, but there's always a counterbalance in life. And really, even in some of the difficult times. Why? Because those are moments when we really see the Lord in a different way, but in a full way. That's the wonder of God. Isn't that why we love the Lord so much? He's not just with us in the great and joyous times. He is with us even in our broken moments, those times when we struggle. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro, and I'm grateful that you're with us today. I'm with my guest, our guest, Pastor Andrew Yasuhara, and he's been such a blessing sharing heart to heart. You can find out more about this program at thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can get this program and others 24/7 at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Pass that on to a family member or friend. Pastor Andrew, how has the Lord helped you through difficult times?
Well, as you know, I've been married for about 15 years. Actually, we celebrate our 15th anniversary 2 weeks ago.
And congratulations.
Thank you. I think in these past 15 years, just speaking, not as a pastor, but now speaking just merely as a husband, for 15 years, I didn't feel like I had what it took to be the right husband for my wife. And I remember it was a couple months ago, in fact, it was in May, that things kind of came to a head. And I just really didn't feel like I could lead my wife in certain areas of life the way she wanted me to, especially when it came to our personal finances. And we're really good financial shape right now. But it's just looking at the future and just not feeling like I was good enough. We had some very, how do you say it really nicely? We had some really exciting conversations, and it was at that point where one of my friends invited me to go to a men's conference, and I thought, well, you know, I'm so busy, and it's not, you know, I have so many things to do. And in fact, it was the weekend of UH graduation because it was in May, and I said, okay. And he said, I'll get you tickets. So he got me tickets to this men's conference. So I went, and I couldn't make it the second night because we had a huge outreach at our church. And so I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to go on Saturday morning and I'm just going to just show face and then go to the first session and then I'm going to go to the UH graduation. And when I was sitting there, just like God had met me on the cement floor at Camp Erdman, again, I had another encounter with God, because now, unbeknownst to me, the pastor was, because it was a men's conference, he was sharing his story about how he was struggling as a husband. And to make a long story short, you know, the Lord spoke to him and he said, your wife is a product of you. The problem's not with your wife. The problem's with you. And they started to play this song from Hillsong. It's called Cornerstone. And I just started weeping and I started crying because I realized that for 15 years of my life, I had been putting the blame and all the responsibility, you know, of all my problems on my wife. And little did I think to look in the mirror and to look at me and to realize that that was where the problem lay. It was with me. And I remember I turned on Cornerstone on my phone and I listened to it all the way home. I left. I just didn't even finish the session, and I just left and I drove straight home and I made a beeline to go home. And I went straight to my wife and went and closed the door and I said, "Honey, I need to share with you something. I know that for the past 15 years I haven't been the husband that God wants me to be, but I want to let you know right now that I want to apologize, because I realize that I've been saying for 15 years that I was saying the problem's you, but you know, it's me. The problem's me." And I said, "I'm not going to promise you anything. I'm not going to make, like, you know, tomorrow I'm going to be a different man or a different husband, but I'm going to prove it to you. And I'm going to show you." And ever since then, our marriage has been on the uptake. And just 2 weeks ago, I was able to sit down with her and say, "Honey, I have a vision for our family. I have a vision for our marriage. I know where God's leading us." But that didn't come without problems. That didn't come without me walking through a really dry season in my life when it came to my family. And I know that there are a lot of couples and husbands and wives out there that, you know, they go through the same thing. And just to let you know that, you know, even as a pastor, you know, I struggle. Mm-hmm. And we all need God. We all need God. And it was in that moment where God spoke to me. And it was in that moment where God changed my life, changed my marriage. And now my kids notice a difference in me as dad.
That honesty, that gut-level honesty, and how the Lord has worked and is working, and it's a testimony of, well, I guess, kind of going back to what you were talking about. And by the way, Pastor Andrew, I'm, as a man and as a husband also, I'm with you. I mean, I'm mm-hmm. when you're sharing those things, I'm relating to my own moments with my own wife. Mm-hmm. I think about the hardened heart where there's a runoff.
Mm.
And yeah, there's been a lot of runoff even for me, brother.
Mm.
Somebody today may have been, someone's wife may have been trying to tell them something, but they don't get it. Mm-hmm. And I've been a hard-headed guy myself. I suppose you have been as well.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of runoff with us.
Yeah.
But there's a moment when the heart becomes soft,
mm-hmm.
or it begins to become soft. There's a slight point of tenderizing that begins to take place. Someone today, as they listen to you, maybe there's a tinge of tenderizing in his heart, or it could be in her heart, but in someone's heart.
Mm-hmm.
How would you encourage them at this moment? With this moment of tenderness.
Well, the Bible says that, you know, God, He's never left us. He has never forsaken us. And God is always with us. And wherever we are at right now, at this very moment, that God is right there. And just as I wasn't even at my own church. I was somewhere else. And God still met me when I was ready, when my heart was open. It was in that moment where I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision to say, "Jesus, I'm going to allow you to come into my life. Holy Spirit, I want you to come into my life and do what only you can do." Because I can't, at that moment in time, I knew that I couldn't change who I was. But Jesus was able to come at that moment when I allowed him to come in. He was able to come in and he was able to set me free. And he was able to start me on a journey that I never thought I would ever say that I could ever have been here, where I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt, my marriage is 10 times better than what it was a few months ago. Mm. You know, because I made a decision to open up my heart. I made a decision to say, "Jesus, I want you to come in and I want you to have your way in my life." And I think as a man, it's hard because I have so much pride, you know, I have so much ego,
mm-hmm.
But to be able to put my pride on the side and say, "God, I need help, and there's no other way that I can do it without you."
Pastor, we got a couple minutes left. Could you lead in a prayer for someone right now who is being encouraged by what you're saying.
Sure. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you're a God of the second chance. Lord, you're a God of the, when we get to the end of ourselves, when we have those end of the road kind of moments, Lord, that you're there. And Holy Spirit, I just pray right now for whoever's listening to your voice right now. I just pray that you would just come and that you would just, first of all, that you would just, Lord, just share your love and help us to receive the love that you have for us. Lord, that we're not alone, but you're there for us every single moment of the day. And all we have to do is call on your name. All we have to do is ask you to come and to ask your love to come and fill our hearts. And so, Lord, I just thank you today, Lord, for whoever's listening. I just thank you today, Lord, that you're going to make a difference in their life. They're going to know that they're not alone, and they're going to know that with your help, that they can do and be all that you want them to be. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Pastor Andrew, thank you. Thank you for your prayer, and thank you for your ministry. And thank you for being with us today, brother.
Thank you for having me.
Have you been touched by God's work in the life of Pastor Andrew Yasuhara? You'll find more inspirational stories of hope and faith just like this at thegoodlifehawaii.com. You know, this is the perfect time to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, hey, look, share this with someone and you yourself can receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you'd like to support our ministry, your support is both needed and appreciated. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. You know what? Let me thank you in advance. Proverbs 9 verse 11 says, "For through wisdom your days will be many, and years will be added to your life." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest, Pastor Andrew Yasuhara. Find out more about him at firstaog.com. Until next time, along with my technical producer Chaz Ontai and Leah Rodriguez, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.